Welcome to GemaraMarkings.com, your roadmap to the Talmud Bavli. We highly recommend printing out the PDF of the DAF with the markings, or better yet, emailing us to obtain your own copy of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. If this is your first time visiting the site, we highly recommend clicking on the links to view the sample markings, as well as to hear a brief 4-minute audio explanation of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. Enjoy your shiur.
Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin, will be beginning toward the top of the page. In the last shiur, we left off with the Brisa, beginning with the expression Veraminu on the fifth line from the top. Veramini indicates a contradiction. Before being able to learn the continuation of the source, it will be necessary for us to read the source at the top of the page, which was in fact part of the last shiur, the previous shiur. So we will start with the brisa at the top of the page, and then go on and see what the Gemara intends by raising the question of Veraminhi, which indicates a contradiction between the following source and this first source at the top. So, beginning the Gemara at the top of the page, Disanya, Nechosai Loch V'acharecha Leploni. There's a person who's Eish Chiv Meira, he's in the throes of death, and he's dedicating his property, he's giving his property to Mr. One, and says, after you, when you die, then I want it to go to Mr. Two. V'yorad rishon u'mochar v'ochal. And the first one, the first receiver, took possession of the property, sold it, and used the funds that he received. Hasheni motzi miyad halukuchos. The second party assigned to receive this property is able to turn to the purchasers that purchased from the first receiver and take the property from them. The explanation for this is that kinyan peros, that the first one had, the use rights that the first one received from the giver, involved use of fruits only. And according to Rebbe, use of fruits does not constitute ownership of principle. Once again, that is kinyan peros, eino kinyan haguf. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, ein l'sheni elamash shishia rishon. The second receiver that was assigned by the giver has only that which remains in the possession of the first receiver at the point that the first receiver dies. But anything that's not in the possession of the first receiver, namely, like the case we just saw before, the first receiver sold the property that he received from the giver to some outsider, the second receiver cannot turn to those purchasers for that property. The reason for that would be is kinyan peros. The kinyan peros that the first one had, the first receiver had, kinyan haguf, is tantamount to owning the principal. And as a result of that, he, the first receiver, could do with the property that he received from the giver whatever he wants. Viramini. We have another Tanaic source, as you can see. It too is in a frame, and in the marking system, framed sections are indicative of Tanaic sources. So we see in the following source contradictory information. There is a giver who says, Nochosai loch v'acharecha leploni. I'm giving my property to you, and after you, I want it to go to so-and-so. Yored rishon u'mocher v'ochel divrei Rebbe. The first receiver is entitled to take possession of the property and sell it, and use the receipts of that sale, And this is presented as the opinion of Rebbe. It appears from here that Rebbe holds Kinyan Peros, the Kinyan that he had that entitled him to use of the fruits. Kinyan Haguf is as if he owns the principle. By the way, we should have noted earlier that we are talking about use of fruits, Kinyan Peros, because when the giver presents it to the first one, in his instructions, he's saying, and I want it to go to Mr. Two after you. So what is he in effect giving to the first one? The use of the fruits. The whole issue in our sugi is, how do we classify that use? The Kinyan Peros that he gets, does that entitle him to principal as well? So in this source we see Rebbe claiming that Kinyan Peros is Kinyan Haguf. That is unlike Rebbe in the first source. Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Ein l'rishon elo achilas peros bilvad. The first one has only use of fruits. It sounds from this source that Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel holds that Kinyan Peros is not like Kinyan Haguf. Once again, this too contradicts that which Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel said in the source before. As a result, Kashio de Rebbe ad Rebbe, Uder Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel, Ader Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel. It seems that we have a contradiction between the two sources within the Rebbe opinion and within the Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel opinion. The Gemara answers, De Rebbe, Ader Rebbe, Lo Kashia. Notice how we've squiggle underlined this expression, De Rebbe, Ader Rebbe, and likewise the line underneath, De Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel, Ader Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel as well. At this point, the Gemara will be offering the resolution. So, point Aleph. The Aleph that you see here in parentheses is parallel to the Aleph at the beginning of the line where the Gemara raised the question in the Rebbe, the contradiction within Rebbe. Here, the Gemara is answering that contradiction. The Rebbe ad Rebbe lo kashya, ha legufa, ha lepira. There is no contradiction within the Rebbe opinion. In the case that he gave the principle as well, as in the first source, we can see this actually in a clearer fashion by looking in the Rashbam, in the lower section of the page. Ha legufa. The first source where we saw Rebbe maintaining that the second receiver was able to extract the property from the purchaser of the first receiver. Hanimili hecho de mochar haguf. She'ein lo l'rishon elo peros. That's a case where the first receiver, attempted to sell the goof when he has only use of fruits. The hach braisa the komar yurid rishonu mocher aperos koi, and the second source that said the first receiver has a right to go and sell. What is he selling? He's selling that which he in fact did have, namely the peros. So going over this resolution, as the Gemara says, ha legufa ha lepera, the first source is a situation where the first receiver attempted to sell that which he did not own. Namely, he attempted to sell the principal. So there's no inconsistency in Rebbe. Rebbe's opinion is basically, kinyan peros, eino kikinyan aguf. So the kinyan peros that the first one had does not entitle him to the principal, and hence when he tried to sell the principal, the second receiver can go to those purchasers and say, hey, you bought something that you had no right to buy. In the second source, though, where we saw that the first receiver is allowed to take possession and sell, there he was selling that which he owned, namely the use of the fruits. He sold fruit rights to a second party. Continuing in the Gemara, the Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel, Rebbe Shimon lo kashya. Likewise, within Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel, there's no contradiction. Ha lechatchila, the second source where Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says that Ein L'Rishon El Achilas Peres Bilvad, that's the proper way to behave, namely that the first receiver should not sell to some outsider, because the original giver intended for the second receiver to get property. And if the first receiver sells it to an outsider, he's thereby violating the intent of the original giver. However, Ha Di'eved, the first source which says that the second receiver has only that which is left in the domain of the first receiver, but if the first receiver sold everything, then the second receiver would get nothing. That is di'avad. If the first fellow, the first receiver, went ahead and sold that which he received from the giver, the sale is a valid sale. Because Rav Shimon ben Gamliel holds kinyan peros kikinyan haguf. Omar Abaye, Ezehu Rosha Orum. Abaye raises the question, who is it that's considered an evil, underhanded individual, a sly character? Answer, Ze Hamasi Eitza Limkor Binachosim Kirabon Shimon Ben Gamliel. It is he who offers advice to a receiver of property, as we saw in the case of Nechosai Loch V'acharecho Leploni, and I come along and advise the first receiver, why don't you sell your property to an outsider, thereby, according to Shimon ben Gamliel, preventing the second receiver from getting anything. Someone who offers counsel like that is considered a Rosha Orum. It's pointed out in the Rashbam that the first receiver who actually conducts the sale is not considered a Rosha, because he had legal right to conduct such a sale. It's the one who's offering advice which violates the intent of the original giver, he is the one that's considered a Rosha Orum. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice some geometric forms. We have a house form, and we will turn to the outside margin, which features explanations of structural notes and topic headings. In this case, we see a mivne note in the outside margin, mivne indicating structure, and the house form, he'orois shel Rabbi Yochanan b'shitas Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. As we scan down the daf, we see a number 1 in the space between the Gemara and the Rashbam text. This is the first of the comments that Rabbi Yochanan will be making regarding the shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. He is the shita that said, Ein Lasheni Elamash Shia Rishon, that the second receiver gets only that which remains in the possession of the Rishon at the point the Rishon dies. As you scan down the daf, you'll notice 2 more times, for a total of 3 comments of Rabbi Yochanan within Shitas Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, and you see the consistent use of the house form indicating Rabbi Yochanan. Continuing now in the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. He paskins, he rules like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that the second receiver will get only that which remains in the possession of the first receiver upon the first receiver's death. Umoide, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel himself would concede she'im nosan b'matnas shchiv meira lo yoso klum, that if the first receiver transferred property to the outsider through a matnas shchiv meira, as opposed to a regular sale, then the outsider will get nothing. My taima, why is it that if the transfer to the outsider is done through a matnas shchiv meira, the gift that's characteristic of a person in death throes, if he gets it as a matnas shchiv meira, then why is it that the outsider will not win over the claims of the second receiver? Omar Abaye. Abaye offers an explanation. We notice that Abaye's name has been circled, and we will see Abaye's name circled a little bit later. Here we have, in the first appearance of Abaye, a Roman numeral number 1. Later on, we'll see a second version of Abaye with a Roman numeral number 2 next to it. Before we go on to the answer, let us just note in the outside margin, the topic heading, the nosei, Afalpi Shomar Rav Shmuel Gamliel Nechosai Loch V'Acharecho Leploni. Even though Rav Shmuel said that in the case of someone who's giving his property to Mr. 1 and indicating after 1 to go to 2, the imochar harishon liachir ein lo lasheni elamash shishir harishon, and we said that if the first one sold to an outsider, then the second receiver has only that which remains in the possession of the rishon at the point of his death. Im harishon nosan liachir b'matnas shchiv meira. If, however, the first one gave to the outsider not through a regular sale but through a matnas shchiv meira, loy osa klum, then the gift to that outsider will have no effect. And we have the continuation of the note, the nosei mivnet. We notice a circle and the appearance of Roman numeral number 1 and 2. These are beis lishonos ve'abaye, two versions of Abaye. Matai matnas shchiv meira chola. At what point does a matnas shchiv meira take hold? The first approach, which is going to be of interest to us immediately, is the case of li'achar misa, that it takes effect after the death of the giver, namely the shchiv meira. The second version of Abaye later will say it takes place im gemar misa, simultaneous with the departure of the soul, as opposed to after the departure of the soul. So let's go back to our Gemara and raise the question that we're dealing with. Why is it that if the first receiver gives the property that he received to an outsider through the vehicle known as matnas shchiv meira, that the matona, the matnas shchiv meira, will not take effect over the second designated receiver? The Gemara answers, Omar Abaye, matnas shchiv meira lo kono elo li achar misa. The effectiveness of a matnas shchiv meira doesn't take effect until after the death of the one who's making this maton, who's making this gift. Ukvar kidmu acharecha. And in such a case, the acharecha, the second original receiver, preempts the receiver of this matnas shchiv meira. So going over the case using our original examples, we had a giver of property to a Mr. 1, and after Mr. 1, the property was going to go to Mr. 2. In this case, Mr. 1 gave, through a matnas shchiv meira, the property that he received to an outsider. That matona doesn't take effect until after the death of Mr. 1. However, there was a Mr. 2 in the original picture. That Mr. 2 gets the property before the outsider, because the expression acharecha implies together with the death, simultaneous with the death of Mr. 1. So he who receives the property simultaneous with the death of Mr. 1 preempts he who would receive the property after the death of Mr. 1. The Gemara asks a question: within Shitas Abaye, is this truly Abaye's approach to matnas shchiv meira? Umi Omar Abaye Hochi, does he say thusly, namely that matnas shchiv meira takes place after gemar misa? Vo itmar, but hasn't it been stated, Matnas Shchiv Meira Me Emosai Kona. A Matnas Shchiv Meira, a gift given by a person in death throes, from what point does it take hold? Abaye Omar Im Gemar Misa. Notice, here Abaye is saying that it takes place simultaneous with the death of he who is dedicating such a gift. There's another opinion, but we don't have to emphasize it right now in our discussion, hence you see this in parentheses, in brackets. The Rava Omar Li Achar Gemar Misa. Rava, as opposed to Abaye, holds that a Matnas Shchiv Meira takes place after the death of he who is giving it. But for our purposes, just note the two versions of Abaye. The first version had him saying Matnas Shchiv Meira takes effect Li Achar Misa, and you notice the dashed, the use of the dashed underline here above and over here, where here in the number two version of Abaye, you see he says that Matnas Shchiv Meira takes place Im Gemar Misa. The Gemara answers, Hodar Be Abaye Mehahi. Abaye backed out of this second presentation. Namely, he doesn't hold that Matnas Shchiv Meira takes place Im Gemar Misa, but rather, as was presented in the original version, the number one version, L'achar Misa. The Gemara asks, Mimai Demeahi Hodarbe Dilmo Meho Hodarbe? How do you know that Abaye is backing out of the first, of the second presentation? Maybe he's backing out of the original presentation? Lo Saka Daitach. The Gemara responds, don't even think that. Why not? Disnan. We have a Tanaic source where, once again, you have a person who's deathly ill, and he's going to be discussing in this particular source his intent to divorce his wife. We know that divorce is conducted by a living person. Divorce cannot be concluded by a husband that is dead. So we have a source that says, Zeh Gitech Im Mesi. Or ze gitech micholi ze, or ze gitech laachar misa. Man says to his wife, he says, this is your get. The first example was im mesi, namely, if I die, then your get should become a get. The divorce document, the divorce should then take effect. Or he says, ze gitech micholi ze, where he says, I want you to be divorced after this illness is complete, namely, when the illness is complete, he is dead. Or he says, Zegitech li'achar misa, I want this divorce to take effect after his death. Lo omar klum. There is no effectiveness in such a divorce, and in such a case, the woman would be a widow. Now, the Rashbam points out, if it were so that a Matnas Shchiv Meira takes place Im Gemar Misa, namely simultaneous with the death, as opposed to after the death, then in the case where he said, Zeh Gitech Im Mesi, why does the source here rule it's ineffective? It would have been effective, because he's saying that he wants the get to take effect during the last second of his life, namely simultaneous with the departure of his soul. Such a get would have been effective. But we see from here that since the source rules lo omar klum, that such an expression of zegitechi mesi or a matnas shchiv meira is in the case of transfer of property that we had before, those things are designed to take effect after death. Hence, in the case of the get, the divorce is of no value. And in the story above with the transfer of property, a matnas shchiv meira taking place after death would be preempted by the acharecha, the second receiver in the above story, because his receipt of the property is not after death, but that second receiver was to receive the property simultaneous with the death of the first receiver. Omar Rebbe Zera, Omar Rebbe Yochanan, Halocha Kerev Shimon ben Gamliel. Once again, we see a ruling like Reb Shimon Gamliel, Reb Yochanan Passens like Reb Shimon Gamliel, that if the first receiver in the above story decided to sell to an outsider, then everything is sold. V'afilu hoyu bohen avodim v'hotzion l'cherus. Even if the property that the original giver gave to the first receiver contained slaves, if that first receiver decided to free the avodim, to free the avodim knanim, his shichrur eved, the freedom of the slaves, takes effect. Before we go further in explaining the content of the Gemara, let us just take note of some more of the geometric forms. We have a volcano form. You'll notice in the outside margin, the mivneh, the structural explanation, we have this volcano form here and a few lines later. These are shnei chidushim she'omer Rabbi Yochanan b'shitas Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, two novel ideas, two chidushim that Rabbi Yochanan says within the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, sha'aleihem ha'gemara she'elus pshita, that later the Gemara will be asking. It would appear to us as being obvious that which Rabbi Yochanan is presenting as a chidush. Hence the Gemara pshita will be asking the question pshita, it's obvious, what do I need Rabbi Yochanan to point these things out for? So the first point under discussion is Rabbi Yochanan's contention that according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, if that first receiver decided to free the Avodim Knanim, the freedom takes hold. It should be noted before we continue in the Gemara that freeing of Avodim Knanim is considered an avera, is considered a sin. The Pasuk saying, Lo Eilom Bohem Tavodu, that when one gets possession of a Eved Knani, he's expected to keep him as a servant to the very end. The Gemara continues. Pshita, the Gemara asks, the point that you just made, that afilu hoyu b'en avodim v'otzim l'cherus, that the freedom, the cherus, the shichur eved takes hold, it does take hold, that seems to be obvious. Did we not say that the receiver, the Mr. One who received from the giver, received the guf as well? Namely, kinyan peros kikinyan aguf. And if that be the case, so it's his entirely. So why shouldn't he be able to free them? The Gemara answers, Mahu detemo, motzi omar lei, lemevar isura lo yavin aloch. I might have thought without Rabbi Yochanan's comment that the original giver could have claimed, when I gave you what I gave you, in this case I gave you slaves, I didn't give you the slaves with the intention of performing that which is considered a transgression. Namely, I didn't give it to you with the intent that you would meshachrer the evet. Kamash malon, that when the original giver gave the property, in this case gave the slaves to the first receiver, he gave it to them with no retaining clauses, or no constraining clauses. Namely, he gave it to the receiver, to Mr. One, lock, stock and barrel. Omer of Yosef, Omer of Yochanan, Halocha Kerab Shimon ben Gamliel, V'afilu Ason Tachrichin Lemes. When the giver gave the property to Mr. One and said V'acharecha Leploni, that giving of the property according to Shimon Gamliel to Mr. One was a complete giving, even to make from the goods received shrouds for the dead. Tachrichin lemeis. It ought to be pointed out that based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and this is pointed out by the Rashbam, that tachrichin, shrouds for sewn, prepared for a dead person, those shrouds are osur bahano. forbidden to benefit from them. So what we've said is that when Mr. One received the property from the giver, in this case he received fabric, and Mr. One decided to prepare shrouds for the dead, that he has a right to do that. So the Gemara asks, Pshita, isn't that obvious? If we said that Rav Shimon Muel holds Kinyan Peres ki Kinyan Aguf, it is obvious to us that Mr. One could do with what he received whatever he wants. So the Gemara answers, Ma'u detema. I might have thought, without Rav Yochanan's comment, that L'shavinu isurei hano lo yahavilach, that the original giver could say that to l'shavinu, to make them into that which is forbidden for a benefit, isurei hano, I didn't give it to you. In other words, I gave you property, I gave you items that people should continue to benefit from. Komash molon, Rabbi Yochanan, with this chidush, informs us that he can't make such a claim, but rather when someone gives his property, as we saw above, Nechos Hailoch, the Acharecha Laploni, the first receiver gets it, lock, stock, and barrel, to do with it whatever he wants. As we look ahead in the Gemara, we notice the appearance of a new geometric form. Geometric forms, as you've noted in the introduction to the Gemara marking system, indicates a series of something that will be appearing again and again. In this case, we can take advantage of our comments in the outside margin, the Nosei Mivne heading. We see a bow tie form. The bow tie will be featuring and the word Esrog. We see it here. And if you scroll ahead to Omid Beis, you'll notice 5 lines from the top again, the word Esrog in the bow tie form, and a few lines after that, a third time. We've kept a running count of these bow tie forms in the little space between the Gemara text and the Rashbam on Omid Aleph, namely to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. In this case, the Rashbam appears on both sides of the page, hence the fact that the Rashbam is appearing in the outside margin is a little bit unusual. And on Omid Beis, it'll be, once again, to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll notice the number 2 and 3. Our topic heading indicates, in the outside margin, Esrog, 3 halochas, hakshurois l'esrog. Gimel halochas hakshurois l'esrog, 3 rulings that have something to do with an esrog. Hameshutaf lahem, hi ha'im mekuyim behem lochem, kedei shichoyim lotzeis bo yedei choyva. The common thread running between these 3 different halochas will be a consideration that's featured in Hilchis Arboas Haminim, halachas concerning the 4 species that one takes on the Sukkot holiday. The Torah requires that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Arboas Haminim, in this case the Gemara will refer to that by using the term Esrog, one of the prominent members of the 4 species. The Torah has an expectation that in order to fulfill the mitzvah you have to be the owner of it. It has to be lochem. The question that the Gemara will be dealing with is what level of ownership is expected in order to fulfill this requirement of lochem. Lochem, based on the pasuk that says, ulekachtem lochem bayom horishon, etc., that you shall take for yourselves on the first day of the Sukkot holiday the 4 species. Let us continue in the Gemara. Dorash Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda. Esrog ze nosun lucho b'matono v'acharecho l'ploni. If someone dedicated his esrog to so-and-so, and he says, this is your esrog during your lifetime, and after your death, I want it to go to Ploni, to Mr. Two. Not loy rishoin v'yotza boy, the first receiver takes it and intends to fulfill the mitzvah. The Rashbam says, "Not loy lotzeis boy ubirechalov." He took it to fulfill the mitzvah and made a bracha on it. Bonu lemachloikis Rebbe v'Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. In order to determine whether the first party fulfilled his esrog obligation, this would depend on the controversy between the machlokis between Rebbe and Shimon Gamliel. According to Rebbe, that holds kinyan peros is not kinyan aguf, that ownership of use of fruits is not tantamount to ownership of principle, then you would be lacking the lochem element. Lochem meaning that it must be yours. If I have only use of fruits, benefit of outcome of production, as opposed to benefit from principle, I wouldn't be said to own it in the fullest sense of the word. So according to Rebbe, since there's a lacking in lochem, you would not fulfill the mitzvah. According to Reb Shimon Gamliel, on the other hand, it holds kinyan peros kikinyan aguf, that one, when one has rights to fruits, fruit rights, namely benefit from outcome production rights, then one is said to own the principle as well. In this case, he would be fulfilling the lochem requirement and hence fulfill the mitzvah of Arbos Haminim, of Esrog. That was Rav Nachman Barav Chisda's presentation. However, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok disagrees. Maskiflo Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. Notice in the space between the Gemara and the right-hand side of the Gemara text, between the Gemara and the Rashbam, a circled, abbreviated Reish Nun Beis Yud Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, and a vertical dashed line that continues till Amud Beis, four lines from the top. This indicates a long marking, that all of these lines will be part of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok's question. Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chisda, who was the previous speaker, indicated that the issue of Esrog Ze Nosun Loch B'Matana V'Achrech L'Ploni would be the subject of a machlokes between Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok disagrees, and this comment of his lasts till Amud Beis. He points out that according to all opinions, namely even according to Rebbe, this first receiver who takes the esrog and makes a broch on it would be Yotze. Atkan lo pligi Rebbe Reb Shimon Gamliel hosam. Elo demor savar kinyan peros ke kinyan haguf domi umor savar kinyan peros lav ke kinyan haguf domi. Up till this point, we saw a machlokis between Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel. How does one view a kinyan peros? According to Rebbe, the use of fruits is not tantamount to owning the principle, whereas according to Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, kinyan peros was tantamount to owning the principle. Elohocha, but in the case of esrog, the esrog that was given by the original giver to Mr. 1 for his lifetime, and afterwards to be given to Mr. 2, imepak lo nofik bay, if the first receiver would not be yotze, according to Rebbe, lama yahave nihale, for what purpose was it given to him in the first place? Elo. Mepak de kule alma lo pligi de nofik bay. Rather, as far as the mitzvah is concerned, everyone, even Rebbe, will agree that the first receiver will be able to fulfill the mitzvah. The fulfillment of the mitzvah is, in effect, the peros, is considered the peros of the esrog. So, as far as being yotzei the mitzvah, that's not subject of the machloikis. Mochra o ochla. If, however, the first one decides to sell the esrog or to eat the esrog, Bonu l'machlokis Rebbe v'Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. That would be the point of machlokis, the point at which the controversy arises. According to Rebbe, if the first receiver would sell the esrog or eat it, he would have to compensate the second, the sheni, the acharecha. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, we say that the sheni, the second receiver, would have only that which is left by the rishon. The chidush that comes out of this particular discussion is that in order to fulfill lochem, that the Torah requires for the mitzvah of arbas aminim, the mitzvah of esrog, it's sufficient to own the peros, in the case of kinyan peros. If you own the peros of it, if you own the outcome of that particular item, the production of that particular item, the kinyan peros, you are fulfilling the Torah requirement of lochem, and hence able to be yotzei the mitzvah. Continuing in the Gemara, with more discussions concerning esrog, Omar Rabo bar Rav Huna, Ho'achin shekonu esrog b'tfusas habayis. Brothers that have as part of their estate that they inherited from their father, as an example of someone who's moirish, someone that bequeaths property through inheritance to those heirs. So we'll use that example, the most common example, sons that inherited an estate, and in the estate is an esrog. The expression tfusas habayis refers to an estate before it's divided amongst the individual heirs. So if one of the brothers, one of the heirs, takes the esrog in order to fulfill the mitzvah, and again, this esrog is part of the estate, im yochol le'oichlo yotza, if he has rights to eat the esrog, then his taking of the esrog in the context of the mitzvah would be a fulfillment of lochem, and he'll be yotzei the mitzvah. Ve'im lav, if he doesn't have a right to eat it, then we cannot view him as owning the esrog with respect to the Torah requirement of lochem, and hence lo yotza. Ve'davko di'iko esrog l'chol chad v'chad. And this is provided that each one of the brothers has an esrog. We continue with another halacha concerning esrog, namely the third bow tie form. But in addition to that geometric form, we're going to notice there's another geometric form that's now appearing, the house form. There is also a little number one in a house form between the Gemara and the Tosfos, namely to the right-hand side of the Gemara text. We have in the outside margin a Nosei Mivne heading describing the role of these forms. The house form are Shnei Halochas Shel Rova Be Matono Amanas Lahachzir. You notice there's a double underline, which is one of our series markings. In other words, there will be two comments of Rava concerning a Matono Amanas Lahachzir. That's a case where a gift is given with a clause, with a condition that it shall be returned to the giver. So someone is giving a gift with the expectation of receiving it in return. We've also employed a dashed underline featuring the word esrog that you will see immediately, and in the second rova halacha, the word shor will be featured with a similar marking. As we continue in the Gemara, before we actually read, we would like to take note of a bracketed section that appears a few lines from now. The extent of the bracketed section is indicated by a vertical, dashed, dotted line that appears, in this case, between the Gemara and the Rashbam, namely to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. You notice that dashed dotted line? All of those lines are part of a bracketed section. According to the Rashbam, this bracketed section would most likely appear, or ought to appear, after the second Rava comment. The reason being that the two Rava comments are addressing the same topic, namely the topic of Matana Almanas Lahachsir. And it would have been more appropriate to teach the two Rava comments together. The bracketed section will discuss a point that's related to the din of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, namely that if the first receiver sells the property that he received from the giver, his sale is considered a sale. As we proceed in the Gemara, we will adopt the Rashbam's approach to the reading, and hence we'll read Rava number 1, and then proceed to read Rava number 2, and then we will go back to the bracketed section. Omar Rava, Esroig ze nosun l'cho b'matana, almanas shetachzireu li. Someone is giving an esrog to his friend with the intent of receiving it in return. Bearing in mind all the time that with regard to esrog, in order to be yotze, it's necessary for it to be yours, in order to fulfill the Torah expectation of lochem. Is such a gift considered lochem? So the Gemara continues, Notloi v'yotza bo. The receiver takes his esrog and makes a brach on it. Hichziroi yotza. If he fulfills the condition of the gift, namely he returns it to the original giver, he thereby fulfills, he has fulfilled the mitzvah of esrog. However, lo hichziroi, if he doesn't return it, thereby not fulfilling the conditions of the gift, so then it can be said that he never really received it. Lo yotza, he would thereby not be fulfilling the mitzvah of esrog. Komash malon, this approach teaches us dematona almanas lahachzir shmo matona, that a gift given with conditions attached to it, namely that it shall be returned to the giver, is considered a full fledged gift. Notice we now skip the bracketed section and you'll see the relevance of this approach. Omar Rava, Omar Rav Nachman, Shor ze nosun loch b'matana, almenas shetachzireu li. Someone receives an animal, a shor, an ox, as a gift with a condition that it be returned to the giver. Hikdishoi, if the receiver dedicated it to the Beis HaMikdash, the Hechziroi, and then returns the now sanctified animal to the giver, HaRezeh Mukdash Umukzar, it's considered a legitimate sanctification, and the return is considered a true return. Amalei Rav L'Rav Nachman, Maya Hadre. What has he returned? He's in effect returned nothing. Because when the giver gave the ox, he gave the ox to the receiver, that which we would call something you can benefit from, a useful animal. When it's being returned, he's returning something that's sanctified, and as such, it's something that's not useful. So how can you say that the return is considered a return? What has he returned? Elo Omar Rav Ashi. Chazinon. Rav Ashi suggests that we have to evaluate the details of this particular gift. E omale almenas shetachzirehu. If the original condition was, I'm giving this to you on condition that you return it. Ho ahadre. He did a physical act of returning. And hence, the fulfillment of the conditions are met. E omale
Almanas shetachzireu li. Notice we've emphasized with a dashed underline the expression, the word li. If he said, I'm giving this to you on condition that you return it to me. The expression to me, midi dechazi le ko'amar le. Something that is fit for him is what was said. And if it was sanctified in the interim, so it's not something fit for the original owner, and hence we would not be able to say that he has fulfilled the conditions of this gift. Returning now to the section that appears in brackets, Hahi Itza, there was once a woman, the Hava Lo Dikla Ba'ara, the Rav Bevai Barabaye. Let's read that again. The Hava Lo Dikla Ba'ara, the Rav Bevai Barabaye. She, this woman, had a tree that was under her ownership, but it was located in the property of Rav Bevai Barabaye. Kol Emas de Havis Azlo Lemigzure, Hafikopid Iluha. Every time the woman went to cut the tree, cut fruits from the tree or cut off branches from her tree, this aroused the disapproval, the objection of Rav Bevai Barabaye. The Rabbeinu Gershom indicates that he was upset by her trampling over his planted field. As a result of this lack of approval, Aknisei Nihalei Kol Shnei Chayov. The woman transferred ownership of the tree to Rav Bevai during his lifetime. In this transfer, she was expecting to receive the tree in return after Rav Bevai's death, she or her heirs. But what happened? Ozal ihu akne nihale livnoi. Some versions don't want to use the word cotton, but our Gemara prints livno cotton. The Rashbam indicates where the asterisk appears that one doesn't need to have the word cotton as part of the girsa. Anyway, what did Rav Bevai do? He went ahead and transferred ownership of the tree he just received to his son. By doing that, the expectation that Rav Bevai had was that it wouldn't go back to the lady nor her heirs. Omar Rav Huna Breid Rav Yehoshua. Rav Huna Breid Yehoshua turns to Rav Bevai and says the following. Mishum de'osu mimuloi amrisu mili muli. I saw. There are different explanations found in Meforshim for this expression. One of them being that muloi is a term referring to the cut off, the shortened, the reduced. Rav Bevai, being the son of Abaye, Abaye being someone whose descent is from the family of Eli HaKohen. Eli HaKohen, as a result of an incident that happened that's featured in the Nach, was cursed, where his sons would die, his sons and future generations would die young. Hence the term cut off. And Rav Bevai, being a descendant from that particular lineage, arouses the following comment made by Rav Huna, who says, because you come off from a cut off family, you say words that are cut off, meaning that you're saying things that are not acceptable, things that are inaccurate. What's the point? The Gemara continues. Afilu Reb Shimon ben Gamliel lo ka'omar elo li acher. Even Reb Shimon Gamliel, who indicated that a receiver of a gift with the expressed intent that after receiver one it should go to receiver two, and Reb Shimon Gamliel said that receiver number one has full control over it to the extent that he could sell it to an outsider, thereby depriving receiver number two, this is fine and good, this is all true when it comes to an outsider. Namely, the property is transferred to an outsider, thereby depriving Mr. Two. Avoli atzmoi lo. But where the transfer of the property to someone else would deprive the giver himself, Rav Shimon Gamliel never said that the receiver could effect such a transfer. In this case, the giver himself, in this case the woman, her giving it to Rav Shimon, to Rav Bevi, never included an option whereby Rav Shimon, whereby Rav Bevi would be able to transfer to someone else, in this case his son, thereby causing her, the giver, herself, to lose out. The ensuing Gemara we've read already, we've learned together already. So with this, we conclude our shiur for today.